Hallelujah. He is our lighthouse in the time of trouble, in the time of need. And he's also our lighthouse in good times. Always the steady, always the constant. Praise God. Of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. Keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that shines. Won't you come and take your place?
Savior, and he calls,
bring it all to the table. Because of the very mercy of God, we can approach that table. We can come to that table and be accepted just the way that we are. But being accepted just the way you are doesn't mean you have to leave as you came. You can leave with every burden, every weight, every care cast off. Cast onto the shoulders of Jesus, because He carried them all. My heart.
All right. We all need power, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, here we are. Mother's Day 2018. Amen. Time is just marching right along. Here we are, the second Sunday in May. I don't know how that's possible. But I do believe that God is up to something. I believe that the Scripture is very clear about sin abounding and about God's grace abounding. And I think God's grace is abounding because regardless, you can choose to listen to whoever you want to, but I'm going to trust God. I believe we're coming into a season of revival. I believe with all of my heart that God is up to something because the harvest is white, and I think He's going to move through His people like never before, and we're going to see some things happen. I think we're going to see people start coming, not to church, but coming to Jesus. We're going to see them want to come to a place where they know the Lord is going to be there. And I believe that's going to happen. Amen. With all of my heart. If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And what's on my heart this morning is the power of mothers in the sense that they forge the future. They forge the future. And if you're taking notes or if you want to remember the outline the Lord has laid on my heart, mothers, they do three things. They search themselves, they stir themselves, and they supervise themselves. They do these three things in these verses of Scripture we're going to read this morning. They do that to be able to impact people around them and to forge the future. Now, one thing I want to say about what a mother is. We get tied up in mothers being simply a biological offspring. But if you look at the original, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says that Adam called his wife, he called her Eve. Why did he name her? Why did he address her as Eve? Because Eve means the mother of all living. So in other words, of course, what it was pointing to was Jesus was going to come through that lineage, and that was what was going to bring life. But what we learn from that, a lady, any lady can be a mother because if you bring life to somebody, if you recognize that Eve, God called her in the Hebrew, Azar, meaning the circle of protection around her husband. If you recognize yourself as a protector, then you're a mother. Amen? You're a mother because, and we need to see that ladies need to be mothers to people all around them. They may be no blood kin, but they need to recognize and realize that you are just those things that God has laid out. And if you'll see that and embrace that, we're going to see America change back to what we are supposed to be. Amen. I honor all of you ladies, and I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful for the impact that you've had on all of our lives, each one of you. I'm very thankful for Granny Shirley and the impact that she's had on my life. I think back to Dawn and I had been together a couple of years, and you go back about 34 years ago, boys being boys, I got into a bunch of mess I shouldn't have got into. Granny Shirley come out and she talked to me and Donna on the porch, and I can remember the conversation word for word. I'm sure she can too. If I would have been in her place, I'd have put my foot in my tail. But she didn't do that. She gave words of instruction and words of encouragement and hope that settled down in my heart that forged the future for me and Donna. That's what we're talking about. A lady can be a protector, can be an influence, that will change the very course of your life. And she has done that for me, and I thank God for that. And I appreciate her very much. Second Timothy chapter 1. Let's just read the first 8 verses, if you would. You know these verses. You could quote them. But let's read them in the thought of our subject this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, and that I may be filled with joy. Now notice, mark down verse number 5 in your mind's eye. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, hallelujah, the sincere, no hypocrisy, the sincere faith that is in thee, that's in Timothy, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, and thy mother Eunice. And I'm also persuaded that is in thee also. Verse number 6, mark this down in your mind's eye. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the very gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, mark it down, but a power of love, of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Pray, Lord, that this guidance, this direction is from you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and glory in this direction of this. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing and honoring the Word of God. So we're talking about the impact of ladies and about, one definition that, as I stated just a moment ago, of a mother is just using the authority that God has gave you, the influence that God's gave you to shape and to forge and to bring life into somebody else. And so as we honor mothers on this day of 2018, I want us to look in Scripture and I want us to see the impact of mothers. And I want us to see scripturally how we can expand our understanding of that impact, and we can make sure that by the Word of God, that impact is enlarging itself and is going into people's lives in a way that'll change, not only their destiny, but the destiny of our nation. Amen. So I want you to think about this with me. And if you, in your meditation time, I want you to think back. Right now in America, we've got 6 generations that are living. We've got 6 generations that are still alive. And as you look at those generations, if you study them all the way back from the generation that was in the time of the Roaring Twenties till the time of World War II to the what we call the baby boomers to my generation, which is called the latchkey generation, because the first generation where they would come home without moms being there, to the generation now of not just the millennials, but the, what is it, Taylor, the X generation? We see such a change. We see such a change in people's lives, and it's because Satan is systematically dismantling the family. Satan is systematically dismantling what a mother is, what her role is, and what life is all about. Today, there's so many people that are so unhappy. They're looking for ways to make themselves happy, and they'll never be happy because they're not accepting the role that God gave them. God made you. God made me for something specific. He made us to be what only we can be. There's only male. There's only female. I'm sorry. There's not 58 different genders. P, you can identify a lot of things. I identify as a dad. I identify as a grandpa. I identify as a pastor. I identify as a trucker. I identify as a lot of different things. You can identify as a lot of things, but I'm sorry. You're created by God, whether you want to admit it or believe it or receive it or not, and you're either male or you're female. And today we're talking about females, okay? We're talking about ladies. We're talking about mothers. And so I want us to look at this. Now, look what he said in verse number 6. Now, we're talking about how mothers need to search themselves, because in verse number 5, 2 Timothy 1 and 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," talking to Timothy, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded that is in thee also." Oh, my, what power. What power is, you see, Paul here talking about his son, because actually Timothy got saved in the ministry of Paul, under that ministry, but he had something to work with. What did he have to work with? He had the grandmother who had instilled something into the mother, who together, them working together, no doubt had instilled a lifestyle inside of Timothy that when he heard the gospel, he was ready to receive it. Amen? That's power. That's influence. That's authority. That's changing a situation. And you're sitting here this morning, and I know there's many that are, it's a sad occasion. You know, in one sense that we look at it, but we need to look and we need to rejoice that God gave us a godly mother. Amen? That God gave us somebody who could impact us. And that every day that we're living today, just like Timothy, we're living out of what happened in our life as we was grown up. Amen? It was something that was placed in us. And so that means even if I'm disconnected with my mom, but you know, some mothers have done went home to be with the Lord, but are everything that they taught you is living in you and through you today. Amen. And that's what we need to rejoice and we need to celebrate and think about. But as we talk about this searching ourselves, I want you to imagine here is he's talking about this grandmother Lois. Can you imagine here she's in this place and position where her daughter has married a Greek. And she's got to help her daughter then raise up someone under a situation where it's going to be difficult. Because here they are, they're Hebrews, they're of the Jewish faith, but then the dad, he is not of that faith. And so it's a very tight rope to walk when we're dealing with two different faiths. That's why the Bible tells us, the best road is not to be unequally yoked. We need to be yoked together. We need to have the same faith. But if that's not the case, guess what? God can still work. God can still do some amazing things. And that's our hope. That's our confidence. And so here you see the grandmother searching herself and making sure that she's helping her daughter to stay in the faith, even though she's married to a Greek, to someone who doesn't believe in the one true God at that time. And then raise up this grandchild. And so Paul makes a statement. He said, I look at you, Timothy, and I see that your faith is sincere. It's there's no hypocrisy there. And I know the reason why it's in you. Brother Rodney, what's in you today has come from your mom, but it's come from your grandma. It's been put in you from a young baby all the way down. Because why? Because they searched themselves and they thought, How is what I'm doing today going to impact my children, my grandchildren tomorrow? How is what am I doing today going to impact those who the Lord has gave me a realm, a sphere of influence? Because every one of us, we have a realm, we have a sphere of influence. And so Paul makes this dramatic statement. Now, can you imagine Paul being the kind of person he was? He knew the Bible better than anybody outside of Jesus, in my opinion. I mean, he could quote word for word the first six books of the Bible. I don't know about you, I have trouble sometimes getting through a verse, okay? But yet, as he got knocked off that donkey on the road to Damascus and he met Jesus and he called him Lord, that faith come up in him. And he was so dedicated to the Lord Jesus as much as he was dedicated to religion. Amen? But so he knows all about faith and he makes that statement. He said, you've got unfeigned. You've got sincere faith in you, boy. And it's in you because of who and what your heritage is. Oh, my. Glory. Now, let's think about this. I don't know about you, but as I was sharing earlier, I've made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? God can use those mistakes. Just like it wasn't the best ideal for Lois to marry this man in the natural way of thinking. But God used it to bring forth Timotheus, the very friend of God, somebody who could be used by God to change your life and my life, because he carried on what Paul started. Today, you're carrying on what Paul started. What Paul got from Jesus, Paul has now gave to us. Amen? And so our realm, our sphere of influence, we've got to search ourselves. So let's get really real. There's times when we're raising our children, when we're trying to influence our grandchildren, when we're trying to influence those around us, that it's going to be trying. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a situation where the flesh is pulling us one way, the situation looks like this, but we've got to search ourselves and say, now wait a minute, what has God said about this? What does the Word say? Where do I need to stand? So hold your place there. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I believe it's verse number 5. You can quote the verse. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 says, examine yourselves. Now, this is what Eunice, this is what Lois, this is what they had to do in order to raise up Timothy, to raise up Timotheus. This is what they had to do to influence the situation because they were the minority. They're living in a Greek culture. They're living in a culture where there's many gods. They're living in a culture where many things is acceptable as right or wrong. Does that sound familiar at all to you this morning? We're living in a country that right now, many things is becoming acceptable. Many things is deemed as all right. You do what feels good to you. I'll do what feels good to me. And we'll all just get along. No, we won't. You can't get along when you're serving the devil. There's no point of unity. Because the devil simply means derision that brings division. Amen? He's a derider. Meaning he's a slanderer, he's a destroyer, he is Apollyon and Abaddon, he is the one who's going to bring destruction. And so we may be in a place where there's many things going on, but we've got to search ourselves. So every situation of your life, we've got to do what Scripture says. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It didn't say whether you had faith, because there's no question about the Christian having faith. Amen. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. Sometimes I feel like, and I ask myself, not out loud, but in my mind, am I even saved? And the Holy Ghost, what? He bears witness in my spirit that I am a child of God, that you're a child of God. So that thought is from the devil, the one trying to bring derision and division. So I say, devil, in the name of Jesus, shut your mouth. Be gone. I'm examining myself. What's going on? Why am I thinking? What am I thinking? What's happening in my life? And so I examine myself to see whether I'm in the faith, because I know that I have faith, because the Bible says in Romans 12:3, God has dealt to every Christian, every believer, the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure. That means you've got the perfect measure for your life, for my life. Amen? So I examine myself whether I be in the faith. That means I can have faith, but not be in it. Does that make sense now? Okay, so what I've got to do is, here I am. Let's put ourselves in the situation of this grandmother and this mother. You can't help who you love. We love God first, but when love happens in your heart, God is love. God puts it there. Amen? And so when He puts it there, I don't care what man says about it. Let God be the Lord of it. Amen? And so here they've got to walk out this reality. Okay, we've got to... grandson. We've got a son and we've got an unbelieving father. So how do we impact his life in a way that's real and true, greater than the gods of the dad? Now this is genuine. This is true because you and I today were asking the same question about the people that we're meeting up with. Because we're meeting up with people who are serving gods of this world. Moms, talking about moms today, your influence, your sphere of influence is to be that with the authority that God's gave you, that you impact their life. So you got to examine yourself. I know I have faith. Am I in faith in this situation, in this relationship? I examine myself. And he said, then notice what he says. Prove your own self. Prove your own self. So not just an examination, but you've got to do some proving. You've got to see what you really believe. See, this grandmother and this mother, they had to see what they really believed. They had to stand against falsehood. The church is going to have to learn how to stand up against falsehood. Right now, there's so many things that's being presented as okay. And people don't know right from wrong. Okay. We don't, like Brother Corey taught this morning, we don't judge them about that, but we help them in that. Amen? But the way we help them is we live right before their eyes. Amen? All right. Let's go to the Epistle of James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, down about verse 18. He's talking about faith. Stay over there. He goes through this long discussion about faith, but we don't have time to get into all of that. But look at verse 18, James 2 and 18. Yea, a man, a woman, may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. In other words, he's talking about some people, they say, I've got faith. And other people say, well, I've got works. But look what James says by the unction of the Holy Ghost. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But he says, show me thy faith without thy works. But he said, I'm going to show thee my faith by my works. So true faith, we examine ourselves, we prove ourselves, true faith will always produce an action in your life. Amen? And so, as we're talking about ladies and their influence today, then the faith that God has placed in you is going to want you to influence somebody to believe God. Influence them to come out of a lie, to come out of the world and to come in to what God would have them to do and be. Amen? And you can do that. I don't care who the person is. Ladies, kingdoms and nations, they rise and fall by the power of the women's influence upon men. This is true. So a godly woman, that's why Proverbs 31, talking about a godly woman, a virtuous woman, is so powerful. So that's why Satan tried to pervert Eve right in the beginning. Not because she was weak, as some people would teach, but because he knew what she could do. Amen? So here we are this morning. We got to search ourselves. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. Let's read verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up. Now, so a godly woman that is going to have impact and influence, she is going to search herself. She's going to have her faith that is working, but also she's going to be in a place where she is stirring herself. Because I'm sorry, there's going to be a lot of times when your husband or whoever the male man figure in your life is going to be so caught up in himself. That they don't even know there's a problem. It's just the way it is. Tunnel vision. But God said to stir yourself up. Now I love this. This word stir yourself up, it means to re-enkindle. It means to fan the flames. Now inside of you, instead of every believer, but we're talking to ladies today. Inside of every believer, there's a fire. The moment that you got born again, the fire of the Holy Ghost come inside of your spirit to warm you. It was a lot better than the fire where Peter warmed by. Peter warmed by the enemy's fire, remember? And he kept getting more and more uncomfortable. He kept getting more and more confronted with the old man and who he was. But the fire of the Holy Ghost shows us the new man and who we are in Christ Jesus and where we're going. Amen. So it says to fan the flame. So I want you to imagine here Lois is and Eunice. And she says, man, I've raised this girl to believe in Jesus. I've done my best to tell her everything I could. And now she's went off and she's married this guy. And now she's going to have a baby. Now you can imagine what she's thinking. Because that would tear your whole world up, because no doubt she's... Because I know how ladies are. Ladies are planners. And so she, no doubt, she had her little girl's life planned out. She had the future laid out, and all of a sudden there's a monkey wrench thrown in that. But she didn't let that monkey wrench stop her. What did she do? She fanned her fan and caused that faith to burn. God, you're on the throne. You can still do some great in this situation. You can cause something to happen. I pray not from just for my daughter, but I pray for this grandbaby. And I want you to make him something great. I want you to raise him up to be something. I want you to send somebody across his path. All of a sudden then, she is doing what? She's not letting the circumstance determine her attitude. She's not letting the circumstance determine her faith. She is forming the future by her faith. She's stirring it up. Amen? She's fanning that. And as she starts to do that, it starts changing everything about it. It starts changing her confidence doesn't wane, but her vision gets expanded. Because she starts thinking, man, I can have something here. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. See, you got to remember what God said to you. There's no doubt that God spoke some things into her about that little girl. No doubt. And so here comes a situation to try to change it, but she's got to go back and think, now, wait a minute. My God said, greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. My God said, if he's for me, who can be against me? My God said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. My God said that he would be my shepherd and I shall not want, I shall not lack. Got to start thinking all of these things and speaking them. Amen. God, you said that you would order my steps. The steps of a good person is ordered. I know that my goodness is not of my own, but my righteousness is of you. I've been made righteousness by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And so my steps can be ordered. So I know that you can intervene in this situation. I know you can give me wisdom that's beyond the curse. I know that you can give me direction beyond the hindrance. I know that you can give me a confident vision of what to look for rather than what I'm seeing. Amen? All of these things. Stir yourself up. And as you do that, things start happening. Things start happening. You've got to be willing, I've got to be willing to let God's word be the final say. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, the word of God has to be the final say. Notice what he says then. Because we got to hurry. You got to supervise yourself. We quote, talk about this verse all the time. But verse number 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You got to be disciplined. That's what the word sound mind means. It means to be disciplined in your mind. So the only way you can ever come out is to see that, like the grandmother, things ain't going to always go the way you plan. Like the mother, Eunice and Lois here, things are not going to always go like you planned. But God can take the very crooks of life and he can make them straight. He can take the hurts of life and cause you and I to be made strong through those situations and circumstances in his goodness and his grace. Amen? But we got to be willing to see that we may not know everything. Can I have just a minute more? Go to Acts chapter 18. But you know what? Sometimes we think, well, I've got this all figured out, and because I've got it all figured out and all planned out, it's going to be okay. Look here in Acts chapter 18. We got a great story here about Apollos. Remember Apollos? Went with Paul. You know, Paul had Titus with him. He had Barnabas with him. He had John Mark. He had Timotheus. He had all of these, but I want you to see where Apollos is introduced. Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. Now notice what it says. Mark this down in your mind's eye. An eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Now mark that down. Mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. In other words, he's fixing to come to where Paul has planted a church. And Paul planted this church, and Priscilla and Aquila have been put in charge of this church. Now, for the people who say that women shouldn't preach, let me just help you just a little bit here. There's only one time, and it's the first time, I'm going from memory, but I think this is right. The first time that they're mentioned, that Aquila is mentioned first. And that was because as they were being introduced, he was the husband, she was the wife. But she was the preacher. Okay?
She was the preacher. Now, I want you to notice what's going to happen here. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being what? Fervent in spirit. He fanned the flames. He fanned the flames. He was in a place where he searched himself. He stirred himself. But also, he supervised himself. In other words, he disciplined himself in the word, not the situation. Being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently. Now notice this. The things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So I can talk to you about some things, and I can be so sincere about it. And you may be sitting there going, Greg, that's great. But there's about three steps here that you could take that would really make a difference. But you know that yet, but I haven't got there yet. But I got to be faithful in what I know. You got to be faithful in what you know. And then when time comes, God's going to send somebody, whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's an individual the Holy Spirit's working through, to take us those next steps. Amen? Amen. Now notice what happens. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, and this is where they were introduced, look at the other times they're mentioned in the Bible, and I'm pretty sure you're going to find her name first. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. They took him unto them. They took him unto them. Notice that. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, we're talking about ladies this morning. We're talking about your authority to influence. Now, can you imagine? Here Apollos is. He's eloquent, the Bible says in the Scripture, to what he knows. You and I, we want to be proficient, faithful to the Scripture of what we know. But at the same time, we want to search ourselves. We want to be in a place where we're stirring ourselves, but we want to supervise ourselves in that we have the ability to discipline ourselves to receive instruction and say, okay, I know I don't know everything, but my God does, and my God's a God of revelation, and He wants to help me forge the future. Ladies, I want you to forge the future. I want you to stand strong, and I want you to know that when you're, whether you're in town or whether you're on the job or whether you're in your home, that you have the ability, because God has made you that Azar, He's made you that circle of protection, that you can change situations and circumstances. You can influence it. And so you say, well, I don't know enough. Be like Apollos. Stand on what you know and know that God's going to give you more. Be like what Timotheus became because of his grandmother and his mother. Become sincere in your faith. See, if you've got the measure of faith, now this is going to get deep just for a second, but you hold on to it and you process it later, okay? We've done documented that Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to you, every believer, the measure of faith. Now, Romans 10:17 says there's only one way that faith comes. You can't pray for faith. Somebody else can't impart faith to you. That's it, Brother Larry. Faith comes by and hearing the Word of God. Now, let's think about it. If you've been dealt the measure of faith, do you know what happened when you got saved? The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, the very, very fire. Remember how God wrote on the Ten Commandments with a finger of fire? He wrote this Word on the table of your heart. The Word of God is in your spirit. You've got to renew, Romans 12:1 and 2, renew. I've got to renew my mind by the Word of God where I can come into that truth. Amen? And if I'll do that, I'll stand in the place, you'll stand in the place of authority with a sphere, a rim of influence. We'll forge the future. Amen? I want to close with a verse. I think it's Psalms 145. Verse number 4. Psalms 145, verse number 4. Now remember I said there's six generations that's alive in America right now. Psalms 145, verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another. One generation shall praise thy works. Now who is thy? God, right? We're talking about God, the Lord. One generation shall praise the Lord's works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That's your job. That's my job. That's our privilege. So here's where we're at right now. We're in a generation that Timothy, that Paul wrote to Timothy about. He wrote to Timothy and he told him, he said, the way that you know that you're in the last generation, that men are going to be in a place and a position where they deny the power of God. They have a semblance to God, but they deny the power thereof. He said, you're going to be in a situation where they're going to be lovers of themselves rather than the lovers of God. Now, as you read where Paul wrote to Timotheus about that, and you compare that to this verse we just read, one generation shall praise thy works, God's works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts, you recognize and realize that the words of Jesus, that he said that before the coming of the Lord, he said the fig tree is going to bud out. And he said, in that generation, you're going to know that is going to be the last generation. And we could get into doctrine and cause a lot of things that probably doesn't need to go on the internet, so we'll skip this. But we're in that generation, okay? So it's your job and my job to see what Jesus saw. Jesus looked and he said, behold, the harvest is white. He said, don't say 4 months. Say right now. So what I want to do right now, I want to praise my God unto this lost generation. I want them to know, regardless of what they've been taught, that God is acting mighty in your life and in my life. Amen? Now here's what's going to happen. Those who are willing, God is going to give you a platform. God's going to give me a platform like we've never had before. He's going to open up some doors and some avenues where he can be exalted in your life and through your life. And that sphere and realm of influence is going to come out of your life to cause those who will to be saved. Mark it down. You're going to be amazed. And all of a sudden you're going to say, God, how did you get me here? And this verse is going to come to your heart. God got me here to declare his mighty acts. God got me here to show this generation that God's alive and well and on the throne. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that the Spirit of God, this is what he's saying. This is what he's going to do in our life. All we've got to do is be willing to walk in it. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is here this morning. I'm glad that you brought us together, and I'm glad that we came here bringing you. But I ask that you would touch each person, let them be built up, let them be encouraged, let them be strengthened right now. And as we are talking to everyone, but specifically the ladies, Lord, I ask that any spirit that would try to limit them, try to hinder them, try to cause them to be clothed with sadness because of the past, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just forge them into the future. And let them use and utilize and implement everything that was put in them by those that you placed in their lives, of a godly spirit and a godly influence to bring forth your will and your plan in these last days before your coming. to reach a harvest. Oh, we ask you, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We ask you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you that I'm alive and well in this last generation that you have called me. And I want to be used by you. And I want to allow your sphere, your realm, your power of influence to come in and through my life. And I'm trusting you and believing you that people are going to be forever changed. Would you come? And say, Lord, here I am.
Spoken word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Away.